Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has written three devotional books for teenage girls, was part of a team that created a Bible zine for girls, and has published online and in a number of print publications. And now, Anne Margaret Hovsepian is adding illustrator to her resume with the publication of this spring of Restore My Soul, a coloring book devotional journey. Anne Margaret is on the phone with us from her Montreal home office to talk about Restore My Soul and other writing projects. But before we begin our conversation with Anne Margaret, let's listen to Fallen from Jaylene Johnson's new CD, Potter and Clay.
There are things I've done I never should have done, and things I've said I never should have said. I can't forget, and it's messing with my head. The things I've done, the things I've said. Telling lies if I said that I'd be good. That every time I do everything I should. If I tried, tried, did the very best I could, wouldn't be enough. I could not be good. I'm falling, falling. Deserve, and all I have couldn't pay you what it's worth. But you said it's mine, so I take you at your word. I need this grace that I don't deserve. I'm
And now to our interview with Anne Margaret Hovsepian. Good evening, Anne Margaret.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Good. Well, let's start by giving our listeners a little bit of background about you and a little bit of who you are in that. What led to your love for writing?
That's really an interesting question, because in school, when I was in high school, I was really drawn towards the sciences. I kind of thought, that would be a good profession to pursue. It would make my parents happy. I studied chemistry in college, but I think that I always had that love of writing. I read voraciously as a child and in my youth, like that I never dropped. And I just wrote, I wrote for my church newsletter. I wrote letters. I loved putting words down on paper. Never seriously considered it as a potential career. I just thought, and I even had my dad, instead of encouraging me to go into science, encouraging me to do something with my love for words. And I kind of scoffed and thought, well, what am I going to do with that, become a writer? The Lord just sort of directed my steps. First I got a job at a trade magazine just doing proofreading and typesetting, and that kind of introduced me to the world of publishing, and eventually had some articles published, did some editing. So it was kind of an evolution. I never really set out to become a writer, but God directed my steps, and here I am.
Well, it's interesting you say that your father encouraged you to do something with your writing, because one of the things that I find with some people in the arts is that's always been a stumbling block. Is family members are going, well, you're never going to make a living, you know, being an artist or being a writer or doing this. So was that encouraging to you to know that you had the backing from your parents to continue to go on this path?
Absolutely. And then, you know, when I was with that trade magazine for about 4 years, and then I just kind of felt like it was time to do something else. And I approached my parents and said, you know, I was 24 at the time, and I said, you know, I think I want to start my own business. I was kind of thinking of doing more desktop publishing at the time, not so much full-time writing, but even that, you know, that was sort of a creative thing and being self-employed. And I come from a long line of entrepreneurs, so I think it was kind of natural for my dad he took about 30 seconds and said, yeah, I think you can do it. And that is a huge deal because, as you said, you know, not a lot of people get that kind of support
mm-hmm.
when they want to pursue those kinds of jobs. So I really give a lot of credit to my parents. I guess they saw something in me that I wasn't really sure was there. And that really, helped me to get started, to get established. And it gave me, you know, the confidence and affirmation that I needed to do what I felt God was calling me to do.
You also mentioned, too, that you were a voracious reader when you were growing up in that. Who are some of your favorite authors?
Oh, well, as a child, I have to say Beverly Cleary. I just, soaked up all her books. I loved C.S. Lewis. I can't even remember, you know, all the authors I read as a child. Then when I got into my teen years, Jane Austen, and I really read a variety of books. It's kind of hard to sort of...
Did you find any of those writers kind of inspired you or influenced you in terms of what you eventually did and pursued as a writer?
You know, it's funny because I read a lot of fiction and I don't write fiction. So there must have been some influence, maybe just, you know, in the way that I express myself. I've never really tried writing fiction. A few people have, you know, sort of said, well, give it a shot, but I don't think I'm there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe not in the genre of my writing, but perhaps... you know, whether it's my vocabulary or style of writing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say.
Now, one of the things you ended up doing after you had done some of the journalism and things like that, which you still do, but you also went into doing devotionals for teens. You were part of, and this kind of started with Blossom, the complete New Testament for girls. How did all of those come about?
Interestingly enough, because I was involved in Sunday school and youth ministry for a while, and I've always had a heart for preteen girls, just a soft spot for them. My preteen years were really special. And I, about a dozen years ago, I went to my first Evangelical Press Association convention, and I happened to have with me a very rough outline of a book for preteen girls that I really didn't know what to do with. I kind of felt, you know, I had a friend who was encouraging me to maybe try to turn this into a book, and I took a workshop on how to write your first book proposal, mainly because there wasn't another workshop at that time that interested me, and the speaker happened to be someone who later became my first agent, and he really encouraged me. I was able to show him my outline. He loved the idea, coached me in writing a book proposal for that. And we did pitch it, so we pitched that to Thomas Nelson, and they were working on the Bible zines at the time, and they said, you know, we like this idea, but there's something else we want to work on right now. We really want to do a Bible zine for preteen girls. So my agent actually had his own sort of editorial services company, and so he asked me to be on a team, and we worked on this for about a year, and we were able to put Blossom together. And then it was the following year that Tyndale actually accepted my proposal for my first devotional book. So Blossom was actually a really nice stepping stone toward that, and it gave me some experience. I love writing devotionals, and it's been a joy to be able to publish three devotional books for preaching girls.
Well, we're going to get into the whole aspect of devotionals now in a second when we talk about one of your latest projects. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back and talk with our guest writer and illustrator, Anne Margaret Hovsepian. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Who led me to this desert? Was it me or was it you? Am I being punished for what I did or didn't do? I've been walking round in circles, consumed by every mile, the landscape of a broken heart, too hurt to reconcile. How long, how long will I stay here in the shadows? When will the pain be gone? How long, how long, when can I finally say I'm moving on? Well, I believe that you are faithful, all-knowing and all-wise, and I've seen your mercy moving through the corners of my life. Well, I'm asking you to rescue me, or am I just a page in history? 'Cause I've been here much longer than I ever thought you'd let me be. How long? How long will I stay here in the shadows? When will the pain be gone? How long? How long? Can I finally say shadows? When will the pain be gone? How long?
How long? Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to How Long from Winnipeg singer-songwriter Jaylene Johnson's new CD, Potter and Clay. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Anne Margaret Hovsepian. You talked about before the break about writing devotionals and how you love to write devotionals, and the latest project you've done is called Restore My Soul, which combines devotionals that you love writing, but also the fact that you're now adding illustrator to your resume. How did all of that develop? How did that whole project develop in the devotional coloring book?
That was a really fun process. A few years ago, I was kind of experimenting with art journals and doodling, and I had actually picked up a copy of Secret Garden, which is probably the most popular coloring book. I picked that up a couple years before it became really popular, but I never colored in it. I was just doodling on the pages, because that's one of the things that that the author, the illustrator, actually encourages people who get her book to do. There are incomplete pages that you can doodle on, and so I was having some fun with that, and then creating my own, just for fun, just as a hobby. And then I started to put some of my drawings up on Facebook to share with friends, and a couple of them said, that would make a great coloring page. So I created a few coloring pages, really simple designs, and they kind of became a hit. And, I had more and more people saying, you should do a coloring book, you should do a coloring book. And I thought, well, I'm not a professional artist. These are really just simple doodles. But then the editor who worked on my book, Truth and Dare, my second book for girls, she sent me a private note, and she said, you really should do a coloring book. And she now works for Waterbrook Multnomah, which is the publisher that put out Whatever is Lovely and another book that's coming out in a couple of weeks called Everything Beautiful. That was very affirming, to have an editor work at a Christian publisher encourage me to do that. I ended up not getting a contract with Waterbrook Multnomah, but I was able to contribute 5 drawings to each of those books. But I put together a proposal, which we sent back to Tyndale, my first publisher, and you know they were on board. And but I really felt like I didn't want to just put together another coloring book. I thought, you know, there are far more qualified or experienced artists out there who are putting together these beautiful coloring books. That I don't really feel that that's my strength or that's what I'm really called to do. My passion is writing, and especially writing devotionals. And so my proposal was that this would be a devotional book accompanied by coloring pages. And Tyndale really loved that idea. They said, you know, that's something a little bit different. And that's how we promoted the book, not as a coloring book, but as a devotional book, mm-hmm. coloring pages. And it's been really well received. It was a real challenge for me because, you know, I had never illustrated anything professionally, and so I had to bring my drawings up to a much higher level than, you know, my previous doodles. And they, you know, I mean, one illustration sometimes took me up to 8 or 9 hours. But it was a great experience, and I learned a lot, you know, about tools and you know, just picked up different techniques. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it was a really neat experience.
Well, looking at that and looking at the fact that it is a devotional coloring book, you know, sort of walk us through the creative process. What would come first? Would it be the illustration, or would it be like a doodle that led to the devotional, or would it be the devotional that you then, you know, took the theme from the devotional and developed the illustration of that? How did that all work together for you?
I actually wrote all 40 devotionals first, but as I was writing them, I was sort of putting together just a little thumbnail sketch that I sent to the publisher along with the devotional thing. You know, this is how I sort of envision that coloring page. And I got some feedback from them. Most of the ideas, they said, you know, yeah, that'll be great. But their designer kind of said, okay, we've got, you know, too many floral designs. We need something a little bit more, you know, geometric shapes or something like that. Or, you know, we need one that has a bigger Bible verse in the middle or something like that. And mm-hmm. so they just guided me a little bit in terms of the design aspect. And then, so once all 40 devotionals were written, I sat down and started working on the illustrations.
Well, and looking at it, I mean, there's a couple of times you've referred to your things as simple doodles and that, and I've looked at the book, and some of these aren't simple. There's a lot of intricacy in the drawing. I mean, there are some that are simple, but then there's a lot of the illustrations that there's a lot of intricacy and like you say, geometric patterns and things like that. How did you sort of formulate all those ideas into your mind to get them down on the paper?
Well, I had I went through lots of paper where I was just sort of sketching things. I have a little notebook with like graph paper where I would come up with designs and borders and things like that, and just constantly, you know, I'd be walking around or sitting on the bus and notice a pattern somewhere and think, oh, you know, and I would just sort of scribble that down. So I tried to pick up ideas from all over the place. And so, yeah, I kind of created an inspiration style for myself, and then some of the drawings are pictures, you know, like there's one with, you know, trees and a stream and a bridge, whereas others are just a little bit more abstract. A lot of prayer went into that, just, you know, praying for inspiration. Sometimes I felt a little bit stuck, and then suddenly I'd get an idea, and it would just come together.
Mm-hmm. And looking at it then, I mean, you talk about the fact that and having read through some of these is I find that usually the devotional would lead you to the illustration, and then you sort of have at the end of each devotional a little thought, a little meditation that you suggest the person go through as they're coloring. Is that how you want people to do that, to read the devotional first and color the illustration, or does it matter whether they do the illustration and then read the devotional? And how do you want it to work for the reader?
I think it works best if they do the devotional first. And then, you know, my goal was that, you know, as they're enjoying the coloring page, that they would have something to meditate on. A lot of, you know, a lot of people talk about how coloring books are great for, you know, relaxing and meditating. But I think, you know, especially for Christians, I think we do have to be a little bit careful where our mind goes and what we're meditating on. And I think, you know, the healthiest thing for us is to meditate on God's word or to spend time in prayer as we're coloring. And that's been really beneficial to me, and I want to share that with others. So, mm-hmm. you know, the idea is that you would read the devotional and, you know, there's a Bible verse with each one, and maybe take some time to pray. And then, as you said, you know, there's a prompt at the end of each one, either a prayer prompt or a couple of them have something that they can journal on the coloring page or just something to think about as they're coloring. So I suppose it doesn't really matter if they want to start coloring first and then go back to the devotional, but I think it works best if they read the devotional first and then have something to reflect on or pray mm-hmm. about as they're coloring.
Right. Well, I would need to take one final break, and before we finish our conversation with writer and illustrator Anne-Margaret Hovsepian, I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Find us in the shadows. Find us in the dark. Find us in the corners where we don't think you'd ever go. Find us in our failures, where we've been thrown back to the start. Find us as we question all the things we used to know. We are lost,
so lost.
We hide, all the fear we have inside. Find us.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Find Us from Jaylene Johnson's latest CD, Potter and Clay. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with writer and illustrator Anne-Margaret Hovsepian. You mentioned earlier that there's been a really good reaction to Restore My Soul. Have people, you know, connected with you as they've done the illustrations and sort of sent you, you know, through social media and that copies of what they've done? How people reacted to the book?
Definitely, I've had people connect with me. Just because this coloring book came out, I actually created an Instagram account for myself, which, you know, I never had before. I was a little bit behind the times. I do have an Instagram account, but I also created a Facebook group for people who have Restore My Soul, and I think there are about 48 or 50 people in that group right now. Most of them are people I don't know, I've never met. You know, some of them, of course, are friends. And it's been really fun to see people sharing pictures of, you know, the pages that they've colored, and just commenting on each other's pages. And it's been kind of exciting to sort of see a bit of a community, you know, to sort of have that sense of community and just sharing and hoping that will continue to grow. And I just, you know, I love connecting with people who have mm-hmm. my books, and I'm happy to do that. And then also, one of the things that really surprised me was to find that Restore My Soul was actually on the Christian bestsellers list for 3 months, May, June, and July. And I didn't see that coming, and that was really encouraging.
Well, what do you think is attracting people to this whole aspect of coloring?
Oh, I think it's a number of things. You know, part of it is just that throwback to childhood and just doing a simple activity that's really pleasurable and maybe, you know, we allowed someone to convince us that, oh, you know, that's childish. And actually, right at the front of the book, I have a quote by Picasso. Sorry, I'm just reaching for my book right now. And he said, he said, every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once he grows up. And I think that, you know, there are so many things that we do as children that, you know, we may continue to do as adults. But for some reason, when it comes to art and creativity and coloring, we somehow feel like, oh, you know, I have to grow up now and not do those things anymore. So, you know, I think there, but there is that appeal in the sense that, you know, so many of us have really busy lives and stressful lives, and coloring is a way to sort of slow down and just do something simple.
Mm-hmm.
There is the meditative aspect of it where we can just sort of calm our minds and our hearts. And I think, you know, for the person who doesn't feel artistic, it is a bit of a creative outlet, and you know, you don't necessarily have to create the picture, but the picture's already there, and you can color it in and feel like you've accomplished something and
mm-hmm.
being kind of artistic. So I think a lot of people find that fun.
Yeah. Well, if people are interested in finding out more about you or and your projects and or about Restore My Soul, where can they do that?
Well, they can visit my website, which is www.annhovstepien.com, and I should probably spell that.
Yep.
So it's annhovstepien.com. Or, you know, if it's simpler to do a search for Restore My Soul coloring book, that'll bring it up. And, you know, as I mentioned, I do have a page on Facebook as well as a group for the coloring book. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Great. Well, Anne Margaret, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Anne Margaret Hovstepien. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for a look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.